Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
In this next interview, we'll be talking to Dr. Sam Zand, who utilizes expertise in neuroplasticity to help patients address the root cause of their problems and establish new ways of thinking. After initial psychedelic medicine research at Johns Hopkins University, Dr. Zand began treating patients clinically with ketamine in 2019. Dr. Zand teaches psychedelic medicine rotations to psychiatry residents, medical students, and is an advocate and spokesperson for the FDA-approved Spravato. He has merged his passions for lifestyle medicine, performance coaching, and entrepreneurship to establish platforms that build leaders and healers in the community. Dr. Zand is dedicated to increasing education to end the stigma that surrounds mental health topics, advancing the integration of psychiatry and psychedelic medicine, and make clinically proven innovative breakthrough therapies more accessible for all. This is a cool topic because it's not something that we have talked about a lot on the podcast before, so hope you enjoy. Dr. Zand, thanks so much for spending some time with us today. We are super excited to dive into a topic that I feel like is getting more and more attention when it comes to therapies and the research as well that's coming along with that, being using psychedelics for certain mental, emotional, or psychological disorders. So thanks for spending some time with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I agree. It's a really exciting topic in time and mental health and psychiatry. So looking forward to sharing a little bit.
So you talk about this neuroplastic therapy. Can you explain a little bit of what exactly that means?
Absolutely. We've coined this term neuroplastic therapy that really just comes from this concept of neuroplasticity. So if we start there, what we understand about the human brain is that it actually continues to evolve, regenerate, create new neurons and new connections. If you remember the old adage, don't kill a brain cell, they don't grow back. We actually found that that was false science. 10, 20 years ago, this concept of neuroplasticity became more prevalent. Now, what that means is if we're able to create new connections in the brain, then we're able to feel more open-minded. We're able to see life from different perspectives. We're able to live a flexibly oriented lifestyle. And when external stressors happen, we don't get stuck in the same maybe unhealthy defense mechanisms or patterns of thinking, feeling, or behaving that haven't been serving us. And we're allowed to now deviate from those patterns much more easily. Mm. Knowing this created a form of therapy to enhance our ability to, while we're in this flexible state that we know psychedelic medicine, as one example, helps us achieve. Well, how do we optimize? How do we use that flexible mindset to then create a healthier emotional and mental being? And so that's the origin of neuroplastic therapy. And we're using it not only with psychedelic medicine, but even without psychedelics. Because one thing I always talk about is neuroplasticity, although psychedelics have taught us more about this, and we can get into that science if you'd like, but we know that there are many ways to improve that flexible ability of the human brain to create new connections. And those are as simple as just doing something creative, new or different, play, laughter, artistic outlets. And there are things that physically we can do to improve the neuroplasticity of our brain. And that's just the standard, get good sleep, get daily sunshine, be active, and good nutrition. Knowing all of this, we incorporate all of that in our neuroplastic therapy approach.
Mm. All right, before we continue on, I just want to talk about Element really quickly. This is our electrolyte mix that we put in our water every single day. And Dom and I truly use this every single day. We absolutely love it. Now, Element has so many different flavors too. And every time I post, I love that I get so much good feedback from people who try and enjoy all their different flavors, from sweet to citrus to their chili type flavors to chocolate. You can make hot chocolate with this. It's healthy. It doesn't have any added stuff in it, and it tastes delicious. And with every order that you use in our link, so it's drinkelement.com/optimal, you get a free sample pack in order to try a variety of these different flavors. And I'm telling you, they're so good. And some people, they don't want to use an extra flavor. They like to just use the unflavored and then add a little bit of mint or your own fruit to it. That's an option as well. So if you haven't yet, get some Element in your life, we don't realize how many electrolytes we just are losing throughout the day. And we need to be replenishing our body and hydrating and really feeling the benefits of that hydration. So if you haven't yet, go click that link, drinkelement.com/optimal, and grab yourself some Element and try any of their variety flavors in that sample pack.
I love all those different, you know, methods that you just listed off on how we can ourselves impact the neuroplasticity of our brain, regardless of what stage we're at in life. I kind of want to backpedal a little bit. And of course, your answer is going to be, I feel, very obvious. But just for the listeners, like, in your practice of psychiatry, what attracted you into this field of using psychedelic therapies more so than what the traditional field looked like?
Yeah, that's a great question. It started way back in my public health studies at Johns Hopkins, where they were doing psilocybin trials back then. And it was very, I think, even more controversial than now. It's become a little bit mainstream and accepted. So I got an early head start on just learning and being part of those studies in my academics. Then fast forward, I did my psychiatry residency and training in Las Vegas, and I started my practice. And we grew a practice to where we're seeing 1,000 patients a week. And when it comes to mental health and psychiatry, especially in the last 2-3 years during COVID, when we were more isolative and we were more stuck in rigid routines and patterns of behavior, we started to see that traditional methods just haven't worked as well. Mm-hmm. Traditional talk therapy, medication management like antidepressants and mood stabilizers, very, very hard to overcome a lot of the external obstacles that COVID kind of provided, that all of the last 2-3 years of, you know, financial issues, social injustice, political things, it just added so much weight. Around the same time, 2019, a medication called Spravato got FDA approved towards the end of the year, right before the COVID lockdown. And Spravato is a nasal spray S-ketamine formulation. And if you've heard of ketamine therapy, it's caught a great buzz in the mental health community. This was the first time that we were able to use this with an FDA approval. Spravato is indicated for major depressive disorder with treatment resistant, meaning we've tried something before and it doesn't work. Our clinics adopted this. We started using them, Spravato therapy, once or twice a week, where the patient comes in, they do a self-administered intranasal spray, and then they have an experience where they spend about an hour or two with an eye mask and headphones and go inward with a lot of coaching and preparation prior and, you know, checking in during and then post-session reflection. This whole platform changed the way we were approaching patient care. Instead of saying, hey, take this pill every day and, you know, let's just see how it goes in a month, we were actually making the care more experiential, more proactive, more engaging. And with that, we were able to just really optimize and see fantastic results. Mm-hmm. From someone who was suicidal to all of a sudden saying, just after my treatment today, my first treatment, I'm feeling better. I don't have these suicidal thoughts. To someone who came to me and said, you know what? I've been so depressed for so long. And after that last treatment, I ended up going to my favorite restaurant that I haven't been to in a year. Mm-hmm. And even that little win did so much more for me. And it's just daily we get these testimonials and these this feedback from patients who have been trying things. They've did everything the doctor said. Take this medication, try that antidepressant, let's continue talk therapy once a week. And they were not getting better. Now, all of a sudden, that same patient has this accelerated growth. The work that we were trying to do for months, years, all of a sudden became much more easily understandable for them because they got out of their own way and they got out of their own rigid thought patterns.
Wow. And so is there a place right now for still having or prescribing antidepressants and being able to work with psychedelics? Or are you just completely like, I believe that psychedelics are the way and this is the way that we should be, you know, kind of approaching and treating people now?
Right. It's a great question because I have to curb myself sometimes and remind myself in the community that while antidepressants have lost a lot of favor, they still work fantastically for about 10 to 30% of people who take it. Hmm. When you look at those numbers and you think that you understand that 1 in 7 adult Americans is on antidepressants, that means that about 80% of those people are on a medication that isn't helping them that much. And that's tragic. Yeah. Now, again, I want to reemphasize that for some people, it works great. And Spravato, the example I brought up earlier, the FDA approval is actually to be taken with an antidepressant, whether that, you know, was for actual efficacy or, you know, to preserve some of the capitalistic marketing that goes into big pharma. Yeah. I'll let the society judge that. We often tell people, if you don't want to be on your antidepressant, nobody's going to know, right? Like, you don't have to continue it. We get a lot of people who want to move off of it, but I don't want to undermine those who do well on antidepressants. There are very little long-term risks. So if it's working well for you, great, stick with it. And we still use those meds. But if it hasn't worked, the chance that it's going to work the second time, third time, fourth time, there's many studies that show it's just plummets. If it wasn't a good option for you in the past, it probably won't be a good option for you in the future. For that population, ketamine therapy and the emergence of psychedelic medicine creates such a optimistic, kind of hopeful opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. So can you help talk someone through, or talk the listeners through, with ketamine therapy or psychedelic therapy? You mentioned that it helps us enter more of this neuroplastic space and helps us open up and go inward and a little deeper. Can you help understand how ketamine therapies and psychedelic therapies help do that versus what traditional antidepressants
or talk therapy,
you know, or talk therapy would do?
Yeah. So let's talk about antidepressants first. Traditionally, we're increasing serotonin. This is a chemical in our body that we think, we don't know 100% for sure, we think it's highly tied to our mood. This hypothesis, the serotonin hypothesis, is from 70 years ago. By accident, a side effect of a medication we noticed was making people happier. 70 years later, we're still using that archaic theory. And so in my opinion, there is a little bit of correlation there, but all we're really doing is saying a little more serotonin in your brain, in your body. With talk therapy, we're saying change the way you think, change the way you behave in order to change the way you feel. And then I have people who are in therapy for years and years, and they're putting in the work, and they're saying, I've tried so hard, but can't change my mindset. I can't change the perspectives. I'm still depressed. I'm still anxious. And what we're noticing is, in order to actually realize the change that they're working hard on, they need to reformat the hardware so that they can reformat the software. The hardware is outdated. The brain is stuck. The brain is rigid. The brain is not in that neuroplastic state. So when we add that accelerant, and we talk now about psychedelic medicine, it actually makes everything work better. It makes the talk therapy work better. And in many times, it actually makes the antidepressants work better. Getting into what that feels like, why that is, and the actual experience of the psychedelic medicine journey, I can talk mostly about ketamine because it's legal in every state. It's there's nothing illegal about it. It's used by clinicians, whereas some of the other ones still have a little bit of gray area. And so what you're actually going through is two things. You go through that neurological reset that we talked about. And I often tell people, if you take this medicine in your sleep, you should wake up feeling a little bit more flexible minded. But in addition to the neurological reset, there is also a psychological experience. And that experience is equally beneficial if we can learn how to hone in on what it provides for us. And so we actually go into this mind altering experience for about 30, 45 minutes, maybe an hour. And we provide a lot of coaching prior to that. We ask everybody to practice some relaxation techniques, so some breath work, maybe some progressive muscle relaxation to just loosen up the body and mind. Then we get into a little bit of intention setting. What are the thoughts on your mind that habitually you go through that aren't serving you? And if you can author those thoughts, if you could program those thoughts the way you want, what would those be? And we start to journal. We start to talk out loud about it. And now we're setting the neural seeds that are being planted and grown and fertilized by the ketamine medicine. Then what happens is, when we're in this mindset where things start to feel a little different, we start to feel a little meditative. If you've ever done a deep meditation, you can relate probably that you just start to look at life more objectively without so much emotion. You're able to be non-judgmentally observant. Ketamine almost acts as a medication-enhanced meditation at the low dose. Then as we graduate slowly to a higher dose, it can become a little bit trippy. It can become a little bit pseudo-psychedelic. And in that point, it might even be spiritual. It might be a perspective of connection, of gratitude, of love, things that are very common to the human experience, but life gets in the way and stress gets in the way. When that opens up, many people have this aha moment, this breakthrough that I realize I was treating my spouse poorly for all these years. And yeah, we have baggage and there's reasons, but I love my spouse. Why am I leading with animosity when I really just want to lead with love and gratitude and appreciation? Mm-hmm. That simple statement that I think we can all relate to, the medicine just helps us see that so clearly in that moment that we're going through it. And then afterwards, we can reflect and debrief and talk about how we can impact that change to continue in our life. And that's the integrative part of what we do.
I think that's so important too, to talk about that integrative part, because, you know, what has become so popularized with psychedelics is now taking them a little bit more often, or going to plant journeys, or going to, you know, and we've had friends that have said, you know, over and over again, oh, I've gone to so many plant journeys, or I've done ayahuasca numerous times. And it's, you know, we ask, well, is that really then helping, or are you just now continuing to do it over and over again? And like, how do you think that they're usually not doing it with a psychotherapist or a psychiatrist. So where do you see it kind of landing when people are doing a lot of journeys, but not necessarily going and working with a professional?
Yeah, it's a really interesting paradigm shift right now, because we're seeing at the same time the medical use of psychedelics through things like ketamine, through controlled research studies of MDMA, through the possibilities and research studies of psilocybin. Concurrently, we're seeing an increase in recreational use, mm-hmm. and not just recreational in the terms of I want to abuse this and have fun, but even just recreationally, I want to learn more about myself. I want to enhance my self-exploration, what we would call kind of the psychonaut. And I'm a firm believer that you don't 100% need a doctor to get benefit from this. Mm. But I'm also a believer that if you don't do this the right way, it can hurt you more than even not help you. It can actually hurt you. It can set you back. Mm. So I do believe that if we can get to a day where the education is out there and the integration support is there, and it can be self-guided, that's really what we're working towards. We all want to become our own therapist and not be reliant upon a psychiatrist or a therapist. But there is a lot of handholding that is, in my opinion, required in the beginning. And I hope that when I see my patients, you know, they're not lifetime patients, that they're not stuck with me forever, that they can graduate and realize that they have themselves for the rest of their life to guide them. So I'm optimistic about both sides of this, but I think we need to preach a little bit more caution, safety, and guidance, especially in the beginning. Mm.
And would you say that when people do, like you said, graduate or, you know, end therapy in this, you know, whether it's ketamine or psychedelic guided therapy, do you find that people don't need to continue on beyond that, or don't need to continue on use, kind of to Jen's point, if they've been properly guided through and they get to the point where they say, okay, yeah, I feel like I'm ready to go out and do this on my own, do most people not need to continue using any sort of ketamine medicine?
Yeah, it's a great question. And to say that they need it is a very, I would say, small portion of the population that really suffers without it and does great with it. And that is usually the person who's gone through chronic compound trauma since childhood. Mm. These pathways that have developed in their mind have been there for decades. And that person might require a regular reset to continue to rewire healthier habits and thought patterns. Whereas I've dealt with a lot of people who are just post-acute trauma. They've just gone through something. Maybe they had a loss in the family. And they're really just not themselves anymore. And they can't rebound from that. That person often, one session, 1 month, 2 or 3 months, really gets them back to who they were. I do believe that regardless of whether someone needs it, meaning, you know, without it, there's more detriment, they're suicidal, they have insomnia, they have panic. Even those who might feel better can probably benefit from a reset. Candidly, I talk about my own use with ketamine because I think, you know, in any field, if I was a fitness trainer and I didn't talk about the fact that I'm working on my own fitness, like, how could I lead others?
Yeah.
I think in this space as a psychiatrist, there's a stigma around, oh, wow, like, you're going through something too. You deal with depressive feelings or anxious feelings. And I want to debunk that. We are all going through depressive and anxious feelings. Nobody's actually sick. This isn't a disorder. This is a cluster of symptoms that we put together and called an illness. It's manufactured. And I think to understand that helps us understand that we all have a mental health journey. And so I share all that to say that I still use this about once a month, even when things are going well, because I want to prioritize what's important in my life and let the stressors and the overwhelming feelings subside. And it gives me that healthy reset. In addition to if I'm going through an anxious spell, right? And that's the way that I would want to encourage our patients to look at this is there's nothing wrong with me. I'm not someone who's, you know, born with this illness that needs to be treated for the rest of my life, but rather I'm constantly evolving, growing, learning more about myself and learning about how I can impact change in my life and others.
That's fascinating. And I think there's a big stigma against, like, even you saying as a therapist, you know, you're doing it once a month, or even just presenting, you know, that this could be a treatment for someone. When you when someone has a stigma about psychedelics or what they really are, or what people are using them for, how can you kind of break that barrier to show, you know, how beneficial or what it can do for someone? Like, how do you approach someone when they have these beliefs about?
I want to understand what those beliefs are rooted in. Yeah. A lot of people said I've had bad experiences with psychedelics when I was young and having fun. And, you know, I often tell them that one isolated experience, you weren't doing it therapeutically, you weren't doing it with medical guidance. And there's many reasons why you maybe had a bad experience. A lot of people see things in society, on pop culture, on TV. Maybe it's religious, maybe it's cultural. And I think that's where it becomes beneficial to go see a doctor who is trained and understands how to use this as a medicine, rather than doing it recreationally with your friends, or even doing it with a, you know, an underground shaman at one of these retreats. I think going to a doctor and knowing that you're in the care of somebody who's done a medical review on you, who's done a psychiatric review on you, who knows what to look for as far as, will you be a potential bad candidate for this? Should we not do this? Mm-hmm. Not everybody is a good candidate for psychedelic therapy. There are physical reasons like high blood pressure, cardiovascular issues, uncontrolled seizures. There are psychiatric issues. If you don't have the mental peace or stability and you're, you know, psychotic or you're manic, you know, those are the kind of feelings that this would actually probably create a very scary experience for. So to go to a physician, a clinician who can help you understand, is this the right fit, should alleviate any of those concerns. And I also remind everybody that we're not doing LSD, right? We're not doing like DMT or ayahuasca, which usually you hear about these very scary experiences. Ketamine as a medical treatment is a very gentle introduction to psychedelic therapy. And it really is a facilitator towards learning how to meditate and learning how to go inward and be with yourself in an observant way. Mm. And that, I think, debunks this myth that, you know, you're going to have this scary trip and you're going to be out of control. And, you know, that doesn't happen in a controlled treatment.
Yeah, I feel like what you're talking about doing in the clinical setting is very different than what most people hear where their beliefs come from, kind of like you touched on. Are there ever any considerations for people who may have had previous drug addiction?
So it's a really fascinating part of the psychedelic industry. And right now I'm teaching psychedelic medicine at UNLV and being on the cutting edge of trying to understand how can we apply this and who should benefit from this and maybe who shouldn't try this. Many people might think on face value that if you had addiction problems in the past, this isn't the right fit for you. But I actually think it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. I think this could be so tremendously helpful for people who've had addictive experiences in the past. Because what is addiction? It's just a pattern of behavior that's not serving you. It's an escape from your emotional dysregulation and discomfort towards a place that you just feel a little bit better. It's a lack of healthy coping skills, and it's a chemical dependence. Now, if somebody's actively abusing substances and they're actively addicted to something, we wouldn't treat them because that can be dangerous. We'd make sure that they're clean and sober for a week or two. But even in that person who was maybe recently using, but now we know they're clean, we talk to their clinician, we talk to their detox team, then all of a sudden they get this healthy reset and neuroplasticity, they get to see life from a new perspective, and they get out of the same rigid patterns. One of the most colorful metaphors that I heard about this is someone told me, I felt like I was just carving in this ski slope deeper and deeper, these negative thought patterns, anxiety, depression, and every day I'm just carving deeper in these pathways. Whereas after the ketamine session, he said it felt like fresh ski powder on the slopes of my brain, where I was able to now create new paths and carve new approaches to the same stressors in my life. You know, I think that that's the ability of this medicine to really help us start new and start fresh. And there are just so much potentials there, whether it's in the addiction space, mental health space. We're seeing some of these very difficult to treat things like fibromyalgia, complex regional pain syndrome. None of this, I want to be clear, is indicated. None of it's FDA approved. It's all off-label, but over 50% of medications prescribed are prescribed off-label. So as long as it's done with the safety and management of a clinician, I think we're in a good place.
Wow, that's very cool. I mean, even just bringing up, that idea of fibromyalgia and pain all over the body and going to see different doctors and trying to get different help. I mean, this is something as physical therapists, we see a lot. And so knowing that there could be help and a solution, like, have you worked with patients in that realm and seen great success?
Absolutely. I think what we're learning is that a lot of these symptoms, a lot of these difficulties, a lot of our trauma is stored in our nervous system.
Yeah.
And if we can just alt control, delete the system, then all of a sudden we have a better fighting chance to improve what we're going through. Ketamine, as an example, has been used in the pain industry for decades. And just recently now are we adding the mental health component. And so there is a lot of potential here. And I'm really excited that the future of psychedelic medicine is going to be beyond just mental health.
Wow.
No, I think that I really like the skiing example one, because I love to ski and it's been a while, but I often refer to neural ruts and how people start to bore these neural ruts into their brain, whether that is related to pain, whether it's related to anxious thinking patterns, depressive thinking patterns. And the more, it's how the brain works. It's how neuroplasticity is fed, the paths and the pathways that you continue to feed, whether that be pain, anxiety, or depression, those neural pathways become stronger and stronger. And we all could use a tool every once in a while that would help to scatter fresh powder snow all over our ruts that we've been forming so that we have a clean slate to be able to play in a little bit.
I agree. And it helps you get back to allowing your body and mind to heal itself. That's the big power of what we're doing here is instead of looking for the antidote, the fix, the fix is inside. We all know what's best for us. We just fall into that neural rut, as you called it, of not doing those things that are best for us. This really helps open people's eyes. And I've had so many people come in and say, it wasn't my intention, but I'm drinking alcohol less, or I quit cigarettes, or I'm kinder to my wife. I didn't go in for that reason, but I came out noticing that benefit.
That's so cool. And I love to the idea of empowerment and understanding that someone by using this type of therapy are understanding that it relies with inside. It's not this outside fix or you that are necessarily fixing them, but it's realizing that it's inside and that they can help themselves, and that sense of freedom of not having to rely on someone forever. I mean, that's what we're trying to do as physical therapists, and the fact that you're coming as a psychiatrist and saying that is possible as well for your mental health, I think can be so incredibly freeing. And are there different types of psychedelics that work best for different treatments or different diagnoses?
Yeah, and we're not there yet as far as the medical ability to use them that way. Mm-hmm. Right now, if you want to go to your clinician and you want a psychedelic treatment, ketamine is that option. MDMA is in phase 3 clinical trials, which means it's pretty close. Hopefully within the next year or so, it will be approved for PTSD. And so you would come into a clinical place, you would go under the medication, the MDMA, and you would have a therapist to help guide you through trauma counseling. We're seeing a lot of benefit in victims of sexual abuse. MDMA is such a heart opener. Ketamine is that kind of medication, enhanced meditation. We're seeing obviously psilocybin gain some traction, and that really sparks creativity for a lot of people and helps them kind of see things also from a new perspective, but in a much more creative way. And so we will see, I think, in the future, different applications. We're seeing Ibogaine for addiction treatment in clinical trials. We're seeing formulations of LSD and DMT for Alzheimer's and dementia.
Wow.
So the next 5 years or so, I think, are going to be very interesting in this space.
Wow.
And so I know that you've touched on how ketamine is the only FDA approved and completely legal medicine to use in all 50 states, but we've talked about some of the popularized, use of or recreational use of psilocybin and stuff like that. Would you be able to comment on what you think about people who use microdosing? And I think for exactly the reason you just said, they feel like it helps them become more creative or more productive at work or for whatever reason.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of my professional athlete clients, my high level execs who volunteer, you know, and tell me I've been microdosing and I want to be able to talk with you about that. And while I can't condone that use or prescribe that use, I can certainly help someone go through the therapeutic journey alongside it. And I think the secret's out. I mean, I heard a statistic that in the NFL, nearly 50% of players are microdosing.
Wow.
And whether that's true or not, I heard from some agents, you know, just even if it's a fraction of that, right? We're talking about an industry where people are looking for an edge. They're trying to be that, achieve that peak performance. Similarly with our, you know, our CEOs and our execs and just high achievers in general. I think we're seeing a lot of that. And that's going to continue in both the underground market and the, it's going to be introduced in the medical market as well. So I think the goal is wherever someone is most comfortable, whether it's with a doctor, you know, that option hopefully will be available to them soon as well.
And what is it that these athletes or CEOs are necessarily gaining from being able, from doing that or taking it?
Yeah. So when you have this neuroplastic reset and you're already a high achiever, right? You've already really figured out your craft, your profession. I've had professional athletes say this was the best, you know, practice week of my life or the best performance I've had in the game because they're already very, very good at what they do, but they're getting out of their own way. Whatever those toxins were internally, externally, mentally, emotionally, when we clear that up, then we become much more aligned with our truer self. We become much more aligned with our peak potential. And I think that's what we're seeing in this space. Whether it's a full psychedelic immersive experience, whether it's a mild to moderate ketamine therapy experience, or whether they're microdosing, I think that's the benefit we're seeing.
Mm.
I think that's fascinating. And, you know, I've definitely heard some testimonials from people that I know similar to that. Dr. Zand, really appreciate you coming on. Like we said at the beginning, I think this is a really exciting time that we continue to learn more and more, it seems like, every day about research coming out about the potential beneficial applications of ketamine therapies, psychedelic therapies, and appreciate you coming on to share a lot of your knowledge. Where can people go to learn more about you, potentially come and visit you and start up therapy if they're in your area?
Yeah, you can see us on our socials. Myself individually, I'm at Dr. Sam Zand. The company that I co-founded and we helped to advance ketamine therapy and make it scalable and make it effective and still safe is called Better You. And that can be found at betterucare.com with just the letter U. Socials is also betterucare, just the letter U. And we are currently in about 12 states. We're expanding pretty aggressively. Our goal is by the end of the year to be in 30 to 40 states so that most people can get this care. Whether they want to work with us as a company, with me individually, they can reach out, call. I'm licensed in 7 states. Our team is licensed in 12. We're soon getting to 20. And there's a bunch of great testimonials and just a bunch of great education and information on our website if anybody wants to follow up.
Wow.
And I would just want to leave everybody with the last message of if you're struggling emotionally, mentally, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you're sick. It doesn't mean you're weak. It just means you're going through stuff. You're going through the human experience. And I firmly believe, and I'm screaming from the mountaintops, that we all have a mental health journey. 100% of people can benefit from enhancing and improving their mental health. And whether you've been let down in the past because you've tried psychiatry or mental health and it wasn't the right fit for you, or whether you've never really opened up the possibility to seek professional support, I think that working on our mental health and namely getting in and trying something new and cutting edge like ketamine therapy can be such a gentle introduction to getting ahead of things and being the best version of yourself.
Always fascinating to continue learning about things I have no idea about, really, and just from other experts in their field. And I love, 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 again, that he empowers people and his clients to work on their own. And that's really what we're trying to do with Gen Health, too. It's give you the tools, the understanding, the knowledge about your body. So if you haven't gone in and tried a plan, just try a free week. See what you learn about your body. See how you feel. If you've been having nagging knee pain, if that back is always feeling tight, there are tools that you can use to work on it. And these are really going to help you to integrate into your life long term. So I hope you go check that out. It's just gen.health, no .com. Check it out in the show notes, and we'll have everything linked up for Dr. Zand as well.